Okay, tonight, 2 Chronicles, chapters 21 and 22, as we continue the study of the kings of the south. And this will be our study up to chapter 28. So far, since chapter 10, we've studied about Rehoboam, who is Solomon's son, chapters 10, 11, and 12. Chapter 13, Abijah, or Abiyah, as it is in Hebrew, he would be Rehoboam's son. From Abiyah comes Asa, chapters 14, 15, and 16. And then Jehoshaphat. We've studied him for four chapters, chapters 17 through 20, the great revival through Jehoshaphat. But now we enter into a very dark period of history, and remember that the writer of the Chronicles, though he's repeating a lot of the history that's given to us in 1 and 2 Kings, is that he's presenting it from God's viewpoint. This is how man has responded to the Lord, how the Lord has responded to man's evil. But in response to man's evil, God brings judgment, but at the same time, he keeps his promises. Whereas 1 and 2 Kings presents to us the Lord's work from man's point of view, listing the sins of David and all these various things. Whereas in 1 and 2 Chronicles, it's from heaven's viewpoint, the same incidents, only presenting it from a spiritual viewpoint. And tonight we start off with Jehoshaphat's son. We're going to see two people. We're going to see Jehoram, chapter 21, verse 1, and Ahaziah, chapter 22, verse 1. So we're going to see these two people, and it's going to be very interesting how things have developed. Carrying one thing over from Jehoshaphat's life. In chapter 18, verse 1, you'll remember Jehoshaphat went to Ahab, who is the king, the wicked king of the north 10 tribes called Israel. And Jehoshaphat wanted so desperately to be united. And that's the key to this whole thing. We need to be one. But it's on the basis of compromise and becoming one with somebody who is evil. And that is going to show its consequences and effects tonight. He went to Ahab. Remember, Ahab was married to Jezebel. And she brought the evil through Ahab. And they had a son, or a daughter. Athaliah was her name. And so Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son, was presented to be married to Athaliah, who is Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. And they married, and she came into the household of Jehoshaphat. Well, when Jehoshaphat dies, and Jehoram is presented as the next in line, and he becomes king, guess who the queen is? Guess who is his assistant? It's his wife, Athaliah. And later, their son takes the throne, and Athaliah is now queen mother once Jehoram dies. And she becomes queen mother. Now, here's Jezebel and Ahab's daughter, who is eventually going to be over the entire rulership and leadership of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, how did that happen? How did somebody from the north and their daughter eventually wind up on the throne in Jerusalem? That's what compromise does. So in chapter 21, verse 1, and Jehoshaphat rested, literally he laid with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. He had brothers. The sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azoyahu, Michael or Michael, and Stephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father gave them multiple gifts of silver and gold and precious things, along with fortified cities in Judah. So before he died, and I guess it was in his will, that when Jehoshaphat died, all of his sons would get much gold and silver and possessions. as well as fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. So Jehoram was the firstborn of all the sons, therefore he became king in Judah. Now, verse 4, when Jehoram was actually raised up over the kingdom of his father, and he strengthened himself and killed all of his brothers with the sword, and also the officers of Israel. Now here begins the evil, the paranoia, the thinking that those members of your family are out to overthrow you and get your throne. So what does he do? He says, I've got a lot of brothers that are in line. If something happens to me, one of them becomes king. In order to ensure that I am going to remain king, he killed or had killed all of his brothers, as well as the officers in Israel. That's called cleaning the slate and starting over. Can you imagine having all of your brothers killed just because you think they're a threat to your rulership? Spiritually, this is how far deep in evil the leadership had gotten, to the point that you can't trust the Lord for your leadership, is that you get paranoid over your family members and the officers of Israel, and you have them killed. Jehoram was a son of 32 years when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For he had the daughter of Ahab for his wife, and he did the evil in the sight of the Lord. This text says he followed the same way as the kings of the north, because he married Ahab's daughter. And now the evil of the north is now in the south because of a mixed marriage. Mixed marriages do not work. The whole message of this section is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Again, 2 Corinthians 6:14. God says, I have called you to come out from amongst them. Oh, but, you know, unity. Anything for unity. No, that is not what 2 Corinthians 6 is all about. Unity can only come in obedience to the Lord. You cannot join yourself. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. There is no fellowship with good and evil. There's none there. When people talk about this kind of compromised unity, they're talking about humanitarianism. They're not talking about spiritual things. And back in chapter 18, verse 1, Jehoshaphat became more humanitarian in his religious approach and joined his son with Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. And then Jezebel's daughter became part of his household, and then after he died, now she's got control over Jehoram, and the ways of the northern kingdom have now become the ways of the south, because now she has infiltrated and her influence has now filtered through her husband. It never works. Evil always has the rule over the good. The person who's following the Lord, if they marry with or join together with the evil will always have the more influence. Not because evil is more powerful than good, but because the pull of evil in its influence is stronger through the flesh than faith is. You have to make a decision for faith. Evil has a natural pull, and it just overwhelms you. That's why 2 Corinthians 6 says, do not be unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. So he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. That would be the north, in verse 6. Just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab for his wife, and he did the evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives great comfort. God's going to keep his word. When he looks down on this situation, he says, these people should just be wiped out. Nothing but evil. So we'll just wipe them out and start over somewhere else. See? We'll start over at Nagano and raise up a new people or something. But what God sees is, he sees the evil, but he says, you know, I gave my word. I am not going to destroy this situation. I'm going to bring judgment, but I'm not going to destroy the house of David because I gave my word. See? Do you know how I'm going to get into heaven? It's not because of anything that I have done, but because of when I stand before the Lord, he's going to say, I'm going to keep my word. You believed in me, you trusted me as your Lord and Savior, and I'm going to keep my word. It won't be anything that I can say that I have done to enter in. It's only God's word to us that we're saved. And I have to trust him by faith. That's what faith is trust. God gave me his word. And so I have that trust that since I have Christ in my heart and have surrendered my life to Christ, that I'm going to be eternally in heaven with God's people. I have that promise. See? And he's going to leave a lamp. And so there is going to be a burning lamp within this whole situation of God's faithfulness in the midst of evil. Verse 8. In his days, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. Now the problems begin. God is going to bring attack against Jehoram. Jehoram is going to die in God's judgment. But the house of David is not going to be destroyed. So Edom, that is the Syrians, revolted against Judah and made a king over themselves. So Jehoram went out with his officers and all his chariots with him, and he rose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him and the captain of the chariots. Thus Edom had been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. At that time, Libnah revolted against his rule because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Interesting, this is telling us that they forsook the God of their fathers and they revolted against Jehoram, and Jehoram himself has rebelled against the ways of following the Lord. We'll see in a moment, the Lord is bringing this revolt. It's all the Lord. And the Lord is helping me to be more sensitive that even when my enemies attack me, it's the Lord. The Lord is trying to say something. Stand for the truth. Your commitment to Christ is being tested, yes. But it is also a humbling situation. Because the Lord is bringing judgment against something. Verse 11, moreover, he made high places. So not only had Jehoram rebelled and forsaken the Lord God of his fathers, but he also built high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants or dwellers of Jerusalem to commit harlotry. Literally, he caused them to commit spiritual fornication and led Judah astray. So he built the high places, alternate places of worship. Jerusalem was the only place to worship. The temple was the only place to worship. He set up the high places again. Now this is interesting. Verse 12, and a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet saying. Now according to the account in Kings, and by the way, these chapters come from the historical accounts of 1 Kings chapter 22 through 2 Kings chapter 8. But according to the king's account, the prophet Elijah has since died. He was not alive when Jehoram was king. And what is interesting here is that while Jehoram is king, a letter from Elijah comes to him. That has caused a lot of problems with people. Because some people say, well, this shows that the Bible is not accurate, it's not the Word of God. Because Elijah was not alive during this time. So how does Elijah send a letter? Well, Elijah does not have to be alive. Elijah could have written this letter and did write this letter prior to his death. And it was delivered to Jehoram, and the message was given to Elijah before Jehoram was even born or before he was even a king. And that's found all through scriptures where the prophets were given history in advance and prophesied about kings and people who had not yet even been born. Apparently, God had Elijah write a letter about Jehoram, which would be delivered to Jehoram. And you remember when Elijah was taken up, I said he died, but he actually got taken up in a whirlwind, is that Elijah left his mantle with Elisha, his cloak, his prophet's coat. Apparently, he also left some letters with him and said, oh, by the way, when Jehoram takes the throne, deliver this letter to him. God had a message, has a message for him. This is before anybody even knew anything was going on. So Elijah's letter comes to Jehoram, and this is what it says. Thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but you have walked in the way of the kings of Israel and have made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot like the harlotry of the house of Ahab. And also you have killed your brothers, those of your father's household, who actually were better than yourself. So you committed murder and spiritual adultery against God. Because of this, behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction. In the Hebrew, that little term for serious affliction is a plague. Either locust or some kind of pestilence or even disease. Your children, your wives, and all of your possessions. And you will be very sick with the disease of your bowels or intestines. Until your bowels or intestines come out on account of the sickness day by day. I mean, that's the letter that God gave to Elijah that was supposed to be delivered to Jehoram. This is before Jehoram had even taken the throne. God already knew what he was going to do and had a letter all prepared so that at a certain time, God says, because you committed murder and spiritual adultery and you caused others to stumble, you're going to be sick. There's going to be a plague upon the people. And you are going to die because of some kind of intestinal bowel disease. Verse 16. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines. Notice this. And the Arabians who were at the hand of the Ethiopians. It's kind of interesting. It says the Lord stirred up the spirit of the Philistines. Did the Philistines belong to God? No. They were not God's people. God stirred them up. They just said, we don't like this guy. We're coming up. Look at all these people revolting and all these people coming up against Jehoram. And it's because the Lord is doing it. See? And they came up into Judah and invaded it and carried away all the possessions that were found in the house of the king and also his sons and his wives, so that there was not a son left to him except Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. After all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. Then it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that is when 2 years had taken its course, that his intestines literally came out because of his sickness. So he died in severe pain, and his people made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers. No incense burning, no funeral. The people did not miss him at all. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem for 8 years, and to no one's sorrow he departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. People did not respect him. They were glad to see him go. They did not burn incense. They had no period of mourning. They said, we're glad he's gone. Chapter 22. Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the raiders, or the band of armies, who came with the Arabians into the camp, had killed all their older sons, so Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaziah was a son of 42 years when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. She is no longer the wife of the king. Now she is the mother of the king. Notice what it says. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. The word advised is the word for counsel. She counseled him. He was on the throne, but she would tell him what to say. Therefore he did the evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction. Now the house of Ahab had become his counselors. You have to watch out who you're listening to, the advice that you get. Where's the advice coming from? And there are many Christians that are out in the world for long periods of time, whether it's school or work or whatever the case may be, that listen to all kinds of counsel, and the counsel does not come from God. It's from the world. And here is Ahaziah, and he's listening to his mother, and he's listening to the counselors that come from the house of Ahab. And he is listening to their counsel to his own destruction. He also followed their advice. So not only did he listen, he also followed their advice. And went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael. So you say, well, I thought Jehoram had died. This is a different Jehoram. There's another Jehoram that is now ruling in the north, in Israel. In Israel's history, two people by the name of Jehoram ruled. One was the son of Jehoshaphat that we've just studied, but then there's been another son of Ahab that was named Jehoram in the north that has taken over for Ahab. So he joined together. Jehoram is the son of Ahab. He joined with him to go to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at the place of Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram, which is another name for Jehoram. Then he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which he had received at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. His going to Jehoram was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. God caused this whole thing to happen. He caused him to be wounded so that Ahaziah would go down to see him, and that God would use this occasion for him going down to see him for his own destruction. For when he arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. Interesting. This Nimshi, God anointed him. We saw the Lord stirred up the spirit of the Philistines. God has anointed. Interesting word, just the same as the anointing of the prophets and the anointing of the kings of Israel. The same word is used for God anointing someone to come up and be the instrument to cut off and destroy the house of Ahab. It's God's work. And it came to pass when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers who served Ahaziah, that he killed them. Then he searched for Ahaziah. And they caught him, for he was hiding in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. And when they had killed him, they buried him, because they said, "He is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with his whole heart." So the house of Ahaziah had no one to assume power over the kingdom. Why did they kill him? Because they said, well, his dad followed the Lord. And we remember his dad. And his dad wouldn't let evil in. And his dad, God blessed him. And his dad ruled over our nation and over all of the peoples, over all the nations all around. And so God blessed him. And so now we've got his son. Now we can do him in. God wasn't blessing anymore. Because neither Jehoram nor Ahaziah, his son, followed in Jehoshaphat's footsteps. They did evil, the evil, in the sight of the Lord, you see. And so now all of them were dead. Jehoram killed all of his brothers. Ahaziah's brothers and their family are now dead. There's nobody to assume the throne. So guess who assumes the throne? Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose up and destroyed all of the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in the bedroom, literally in the secret chamber that's inside the bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Now this is Ahab and Jezebel's daughter is now ruling over Jerusalem. How did that ever happen? Who would ever think that that would happen? It's all started back in chapter 18, verse 1, where Jehoshaphat, the man of God, made that great mistake of compromising and bringing a mixed marriage into his household, where this woman, evil woman, from an evil household, would eventually rule over all of Israel. But the lamp in all of this is that when she went to kill all the heirs again so that they would not have any right to the throne at all, is that the sister of Ahaziah, who was married to the priest, took the youngest of the sons before she could get to him to murder him, and they hid him. He was actually inside the bedroom of the palace next to the temple for 6 years. They hid him there. And we're going to see him. He's eventually going to take the throne. It's God's way, see? God brought judgment, but it's kind of interesting how the Lord would preserve the house of David to keep his promise. When it looks like all is through. I mean, I can imagine myself being there at that time and seeing Athaliah murder all these people and say, well, God's promise, there's no way God's promise can be fulfilled. She killed everybody. Only to find out 6 years later, oh, there was one left that she didn't get to. A faithful woman and man hid the youngest and trained him in the things of the Lord. Interesting, he was the priest. And here was this boy, never going outside for 6 years, and he's living with a godly man and a godly woman. And when he becomes king, he has all that background of the Lord and the Lord's ways and the Lord's word. Because he's lived with this and he's confined to this room for 6 years. He has nothing but protection and the influence of the Lord and his word all around him. And here's Athaliah thinking, okay, I got it made now. Now she doesn't have it made. God's still on the throne. When it looks like evil is conquering, God keeps his word. The Lord will judge the evil. but he will also keep his promise in the midst of it. Remember, 1st and 2nd Chronicles is to show from heaven's point of view God's work in the midst of an evil, in the midst of evil people. How God's people rebelled, so he judged them for it, but at the same time, how he kept his word. The evil did not overcome the good. So as we continue next week, we're going to continue to study as we find out what happened to this young boy. We're going to find out what happens to Athaliah. We're going to see how God keeps his word and preserves his promise in the house of David. The moral of the story, do not be unequally yoked together. The believer does not have more influence over the evil. The evil has influence. It's usually the believer that's pulled down into the world and away from the Lord instead of the non-believer pulled to the Lord. It doesn't work that way. Okay? And so it doesn't mix. And God has already said, come out from amongst them. And don't be amongst them. And when that mixed marriage took place, it was just the evil in the household began to infiltrate until the generations through the years. They were not a people that were serving the Lord. They were killing each other and they just wanted the throne and the power. Especially Athaliah. She went all the way from being evil Jezebel and Ahab's daughter to ruling on the throne in Jerusalem. Well, that's amazing that could happen. But that's what evil does. It just slowly creeps in until it just takes over. But then there's God's promise. There's God's word. He keeps his word. He doesn't bless evil. He'll bring judgment for the evil. But he keeps his word. And that's how all of us are going to enter into heaven. It's because he has kept his word. But he also chastises those whom he loves. Let's close with prayer.